Are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Go to layeredsuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use our promo code Dr. D at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. I love smoothies, but I don't always love smoothie bar prices. The BlendJet 2 portable blender is awesome. I can make smoothie bar quality beverages for a fraction of the price. BlendJet 2 is portable, so you can blend a smoothie at work, a protein shake at the gym, or even a margarita at the beach. It's small enough to fit in a cup holder, but powerful enough to blast tough ingredients like ice and frozen fruit with ease. BlendJet 2 is whisper quiet, so you can make your morning smoothie without waking up the whole house. It lasts for 15 blends and recharges quickly via USB-C. Best of all, BlendJet 2 cleans itself. Just blend water with a drop of soap and you're good to go. I like that BlendJet 2 comes in different colors. You can rock the style you feel connected to. I'm just a big fan of that. So what are you waiting for? Go to BlendJet.com and grab yours today. And be sure to use the promo code DRD12 to get 12% off your order and free two-day shipping. No other portable blender in the market comes close to the quality, power, and innovation of BlendJet 2. They guarantee you'll love it or your money back. Blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet 2 portable blender. Go to blendjet.com and use the code DRD12 to get 12% off your order and free two-day shipping. Shop today and get the best deal ever. You know, throughout the years, I've been taking more time to improve my overall health and well-being in numerous ways. Health encompasses a variety of factors, and I just like to explore different ways to improve my health. Liquid IV is one of the ways I'm doing that. Liquid IV is a category-winning hydration brand fueling well-being. I really like the convenient packaging and variety of flavors. Liquid IV also believes that equitable access to clean and abundant water is the foundation of a healthier world. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code DRD at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code DRD at liquidiv.com.
Ready for the interview, and if you get a cue live on a laptop, watch what I'm gonna do. Welcome to the show, let them know we got a point of view. Hey, yo, let's have a combo. Say what you feel, be real, that's the motto. Real talk, pronto, Dr. D, PhD, hit an intro. Hold up, wait, gotta be social. Network global, a home for the locals. Gotta be social, network global, a home for the locals.
Here we go, Caitlin. Have you come back on the screen here? By the way, I'm telling you, that BlendJet, it's amazing. I have the BlendJet, and it is absolutely fantastic. I didn't realize how awesome that BlendJet deal is. I'm telling you, BlendJet's unbelievable. It's crazy. I take it with me everywhere. It's awesome.
I liked the concept of being on the beach with a blender.
I definitely like that. I haven't done a margarita yet with it, but I think it could be amazing. It actually could be amazing. Yeah, who doesn't? I don't know. Who wouldn't want that? But Caitlin, great to have you with me here.
Happy to be here.
And we're going to talk about something that's very intimate to most people and amazing. We're going to talk a little bit about intimacy and sex and the whole deal. So before we get into that, just tell me a little bit about why you got into this field and kind of the genesis of this journey for you.
Yeah. So I went and I got my master's in counseling, and I was working with brain injuries. And when I was doing it, I actually thought that maybe I wasn't ready to be a counselor, or maybe that wasn't the life trajectory for me. Because when I was doing it, it was just really painful. I was working with a lot of disabilities and things like that. I took some time off. I became a stripper, went rogue for a little bit. Like I did that for 8 years. And, within the past 4 years, I learned about sex coaching. And I was like, oh my God, that actually, that's my skill set. And it's everything that I've ever wanted that I couldn't have gotten out of being a counselor, right? Mm. So working with intimacy issues, but then also working on goals for people. So working on sex and relationship goals that they're trying to reach is a really fun and interesting thing for me. So it took me a little bit of time to find the profession. Also, nobody talks about it, right? Like I was in grad school, right, and nobody, like, this wasn't on my my list of things that I could pick from. Once I heard about it, though, I was like, that's the thing that I've been missing and I've been wanting to do. So I've been doing it for a couple of years now and I love it.
Well, so tell me how your formal education in counseling has influenced your work as a sex coach. What techniques, theories, different things do you use to kind of embolden what you do?
Yeah. So one of the techniques that I always liked from school is it's called Rogerian therapy. And basically what it means is people's answers are within themselves. As long as you can provide the environment that is supportive and understanding and kind and empathetic, then people will grow to be their best selves. I've always felt like that was a very natural and normal way for how people are. And so I still use that within my coaching. When people come to me with some type of desire that they have, you know, I'm going to give an example of, somebody comes to me and they say, I am a heterosexual male, and I also find being in nylons very, very arousing. What does this mean? Like, am I messed up? Is there something wrong with me? And so what I do with that is I go, well, the answers are within you, right? The answers are finding something that is comfortable for you, that works for you. And so I like that concept whenever I'm working with coaching patients.
Okay. So that's an interesting story with that. I mean, how do you think about when you first started, like say with someone like that, and then as you've been doing it, how have you improved, or how do you feel like that you have become better at communication in this particular work that you're doing from when you first started to now?
How have I gotten better with communication? You mean with clients or?
Yeah.
So, that's a really interesting question. Give me a second to think about that. You know, I think that just understanding how diverse people are has been something that I've really learned with working with clients over time. For example, women and their pleasure are very nuanced. They're very different. But what gets one woman off is shockingly different from what gets another woman off, right? And these are things that I knew. I kind of like knew from the beginning, but now it's just really interesting to understand, like, wow. So one person likes to tap and they like to move in circles. And then another person likes to go to the left of their clit. They don't like to go to the right of their clit. Like, I didn't know all of these things. And so that, like, getting to understand and communicate with people about, like, what their specific desires are has been really interesting and has changed over time. So not just with women, but also with men, and understanding that the thing that causes one guy's premature ejaculation is going to be a very different thing that causes another guy's premature ejaculation. And so when I work with a client, being able to discuss, okay, What are the specific reasons that this happens for you? Is it, you know, I know that you said that you have relationship issues. So maybe it's actually stemming from communication with your significant other. And then how do we break that down?
You know, it's very interesting. How have you taken that approach to your personal life and relationships with that and communication?
Yeah. So here's the weird thing. There are times with sex with my partner. I've been married. I just recently got married. We've been together 5 years, but we just got married in November.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And there are times where I will be nervous about doing something or asking for something. So that's my initial reaction is, oh my God, I want to talk about this, but I don't want to. I know that this is a thing that I need to talk about. I'm like, baby, I'm having issues with orgasm this month. But it's not always my first reaction. Oftentimes my first reaction to discussing something difficult is going, ooh, well, how do I cover this? But then I have to sit back and go, okay, is that really like, are you going to be afraid to talk about this? But I am, right? And even with it being something that I do, I coach people through talking about difficult situations. There are times where it literally comes up for me. I actually had, I read in a book the other night where a woman went up to her husband and said, hey, I want you to do the sexy thing to me. Like, I want you to fuck me on a piano. And I was like, ooh, that's really hot. And I was like,
very juicy.
I loved it. And when I read it, like, I kept thinking about it. I was like, that's so sexy. Like, I kind of want to say that to my husband. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I was like a little bit nervous about it. And I was like, you can fucking do this. And I did it last night. I want you to like push me against this door and make out with me. And he was like, okay, but it's like, I'm still scared. I'm still scared sometimes because I'm wondering like, what does that come from exactly?
Yeah.
I have a very progressive family. I have a very, like, I was raised in a progressive household. We didn't talk about feelings though. Right. Mm. And so sex is like, it's not necessarily a feeling, but it's scarier than feelings are. If I'm afraid to talk about feelings, right? If that's my knee-jerk reaction, that's also part of why I really love counseling in general. It's just going like, let's talk about this shit. But taking it to the next level of talking about sex is like, whoa, it is a scary and it is a vulnerable thing. And so when people are willing to do it, it's so fun. And every time that somebody gets more transparent about sex, then society gets a little bit better.
Yeah.
Just like with where you were talking about interviewing the podcast you had earlier with somebody who works with
psychedelics. Yeah.
Psychedelics, right. I was thinking psilocybin. That's one of the psychedelics.
Yeah.
And, every time we talk about something that seems scary or it seems different, you're making the world a better place, right? Like where it's becoming more open. And then we do that on a small basis, like at the grocery store, but you're doing it on a podcast, which makes it better.
Yeah. What's interesting, I think also people like can sometimes be surprised at their adventurous nature in sex. And maybe it's like, wow, maybe I'm into this. Like I could be into this. And the feelings of maybe like, can I actually talk about this? Like that, will this change how I feel about my sexuality and all these things? And I think people, they have a real fear of that. And also because they just have never had a medium or a place to talk about it with other people. Or other people will say, well, you're weird because you think about that. But I find that I've had a lot of these sex conversations And I think it's nothing like I think it's going to be ever. I think a lot of people in the industry are very different than what you think they're going to be. And that there's a mountain of evidence that a lot of people are very freaky, man. They're just they're not talking about it. They are.
A lot of people are very freaky.
A lot of people.
Yes. Yeah. And you were saying, you said you have a lot of these sex conversations. Are you talking about on your podcast, or are you just talking about like in general?
On my podcast and in my personal life with my wife, we've been married almost 20 years, and we really ramped up our sexual communication big time. Actually, because of these podcasts, because I'm like, man, I'm learning so much, and I want to apply this to my personal life, which has been great, you know. But there's a whole lot of kinkiness out there and excitement. And, you know, whether you're into it or not, it's good to know the spectrum of these different things that are happening, you know.
You know, and that's kind of why I like porn, right? Porn can have definitely some negatives to it, right?
Sure.
But there are also, but porn in my eyes is like alcohol. There are people who they drink it on a special occasion and it really helps them, you know, be in the moment. They're celebrating a wedding or they're, you know, it's a rare time where they're hanging out with their best friend who they haven't seen in a long time. And they're bonding over alcohol. So it can be a good thing, but there are obviously people who take it to the extreme and it fucks up their life. Same thing with porn, right? It is a substance that could be misused. But one of the amazing things about porn is that it allows for people to understand that there's a diverse range of things out there. And that is fun. I know that sometimes people will say like, oh man, because of porn, we get into all of these weird things.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that it's cool that sometimes people, like, we didn't get to know that we were turned on by a giant eating us. I didn't know that was sexy. But you know, because we have access to these concepts, these ideas, I think overall it's giving our sexuality more creativity, more openness.
Yeah, most definitely. It's I like that analogy that you made, actually. It's very interesting because I think there's a segment of people who are just like, it's all bad. It's just all bad. And it's and people do that with alcohol, or they do it with psychedelics or whatever. You name it. If something seems bad, or it must not be, it's just like a one size fits all. It's like, nope. But there's, like anything, it all exists on a spectrum.
Yeah.
And I want to stay in the porn realm because you have a very interesting thing you're doing with Pornhub. First of all, how'd you get involved with Pornhub? And two, watch girls watch porn. We have to talk about how this came to being as well.
It's. So I'll talk about how Watch Girls happened first, because that was the first thing on the timeline during the pandemic. Me and my husband were bored, right? We're sitting at home. We're like, wouldn't it be interesting if I uploaded a video of me and a friend reacting to porn, talking shit, watching it, just interacting with it. And I uploaded it to Pornhub, and personally, I did not think that it was going to perform well because we're not, like, I'm not topless. We're not masturbating. It's just literally us in normal fucking clothing talking about porn. And so I didn't think it would do well, but it did really well. And I partnered with a production studio after that. And so I got really high quality videos made. And then after that, the videos just kept organically doing better and better. And so I reached out to Pornhub and I'm like, hey, look at this thing we're doing. And they loved it. You know, they're like, oh, we love that you're doing that. And so they started promoting me. And then after that, they told me that they have a sexual wellness program and they invited me to be a sex educator for that. And I didn't even know that was an option. I didn't know any of these things were things. So it's all like very fun that I have been getting to do them.
I mean, what an intro into doing that. That's it's wild, actually. Like, it's funny, is like all these things that people are doing, half the time I see, it's not like they plan it. You know, it's like, yeah, this is another example of like kind of doing something on a whim, and then all of a sudden it leads to something else, you know?
Yeah. I bet, like, with your podcast, was your podcast planned out, or was that like...
No, I just started doing it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do a podcast. And then it's just 630-something episodes later. It's kind of like...
Oh, that's a lot.
It's aggressive. I know. It's aggressive, Caitlin.
You have an aggressive social network.
Very aggressive. If I'm going to do about my social network, it's got to be aggressive. A big network of people that I'm meeting. It's my curiosity. It's basically my curiosity in all things is what it is. You know.
That's amazing. That's pretty damn cool.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. You know, it's funny. It's just like one foot in front of the other and just keep scheduling interviews with people, discussions. Make it easy to put out and just wash, rinse, repeat. Just keep doing it, you know?
Well, you've got a good system.
Thank you. So how often do you do the videos that you're doing for Watch Girls Watch Porn?
So we're uploading them weekly. And new thing that I just started doing, which is really fun, we have live tapings of the show. Because the show is really... Like, it's fun to make it, and I've had friends who watch it in the background. They're like, oh my God, this is really fun to just watch. So now I have our production studio holds a private event where people can come. It's really exclusive. We cap our tickets at $10 each, or I'm sorry. We only sell 10 each, right?
They're I see.
More expensive than that. But we're...
I was like, this is pretty cheap, man.
Wrong price, though. Very. So we only allow 10 people to come in, 10 customers who come in. And it is a live taping of the show. But then after that, it turns into a party where people can hang out with local strippers and porn creators. And it's just, it's a really fun time. Ultimately, I think I would like to make it to where they're bigger live events. But as of right now, we've got a very like exclusive kind of small party vibe happening. But
sounds like the good times are rolling around there.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Let me ask you this. So in your work as a sex coach, what is maybe some of the stigma or resistance or misconceptions people have about what you do?
Yeah, so I'm laughing because I just had a flashback to my aunt who she
oh
had
no
weirdest reaction to me because I told her I'm like, hey, she knows I've got a master's degree, right? I'm not just like.
Right.
I'm not just like shooting the shit, doing weird stuff. I mean, it's weird for her, apparently. Anyway, right. So she's like, I told her I was doing sex coaching, and she said, I won't even ask you what that is. And I was like, that's such a weird like, what are you thinking? Is it, I feel like whatever's in your head is probably weirder than what I actually am doing. You know, and like, but I feel like that's true about everything in life, right? If we can be transparent, we can talk about things, it becomes less scary, it gets less weird. But when it's in our brains, we tend to like come up with these crazy stories. Yeah. And so I think I was nervous that people wouldn't take me seriously or people would hear what I do and just immediately assume that it's something that it's not valid, that it's not really a helpful profession. And you know what? I've noticed that whenever I explain what I do to somebody in a way that is very like confident, people, they just go, oh, well, she talked about sex like it's normal. Maybe it is. Maybe it can be normal. But I know that in the past where I've where I felt less confident about who I am as a person and about the services that I was providing, I could tell that people were, they were also unconfident with it. But whenever I have, you know, kind of stepped into my own being and into my own like truth of who I am as a human, I have been able to speak to people of all, you know, like judges about what I do as a sex coach or, you know, at medical professional meetings and things like that. Cause I went, I got my, my graduate degree at a med school, right? So talking to people in all of these scenarios, I think that me being confident about it legitimizes the practice too.
Yeah. I think also too, is like, you know, you're doing a business much like my own in the fitness industry, which is generally highly unregulated.
Yeah.
And because people don't see this kind of formalized aspect to it, they don't think it's legitimate.
Yeah.
So, and then also you have different players within a system who may not be great messengers of the business as well. Like you have a lot of education, right, for doing this, but there's a lot of people who are just, you know, just kind of clowns, you know, and so they're not good representations of what it is. And then I think the third thing is a lot of people, like just like the psychedelics conversation I was having, ladies, just there's just a lack of education. And a lot of people have a lot of shame around sex because they never talked about it growing up. They don't feel fulfilled to talk about their freakiness, man. I'm telling you, like I've had so many of these conversations and I feel like the most normal people are the freakiest people. I'm telling you, I never find it to be the people actually doing the sex coaching and stuff. Like they're freaky, but like they always tell me, oh, it's always the ones you don't think about. That's solely true. It's so true, man.
Yeah.
Freaky housewives and judges and doctors, and they're everywhere out there. I'm telling you.
No, definitely. And I think that there's also, there's a component to, okay, if you need to be on the straight and narrow, then it makes it to where like, if you're being transgressive, then it probably feels even like even sexier. So, you know, like, so the housewife who needs to like put up a facade, you know, really gets off on doing like, really dirty BDSM stuff because it's so, because when something's transgressive, it feels sexier. Whereas like, I know for me, because nothing really seems taboo to me, it almost makes me wonder, would that make my desire less intense? I don't know. I haven't really thought about it until this moment, but I kind of feel like maybe, because everything I do is, it's like part of me is like always going to be okay with it. I'm like, that's a fine, that's a perfectly normal thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's also part of you know, like part of why people cheat, right? It's not necessarily that they needed that other person, but they needed the badness that was bad.
The badness.
Yeah.
It's a that's a whole other issue going on there. But I think that it's a whole nother conversation. But I think like just people are, I mean, I feel like people are starting to wake up a little bit more to more sex-based conversations, because let's be honest, why should we be ashamed to have these conversations? I mean, everybody is here, generally speaking, literally because someone had sex with someone else or conceived through some way or shape or form. It's like generally sex, but whereas like stuff about like psychedelics and stuff had education that's somewhat lost because we've kind of pushed down different cultures from the East about it. This we kind of just never had. We just from the beginning, it's like, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
So we're trying to come out of this kind of sexual dormancy. I feel like it's just, we never opened the box and we're starting to open the box. And it's just okay if you like some different stuff. Not everybody likes pleasure the same way. I mean, it's all different, you know?
So you've been doing 600 something episodes. How do you feel like the landscape of talking about sex has changed since the beginning?
just more open. Like, I'll tell people about the episodes about it. And some of them, you know, can be kind of raunchy. And they're just like, oh, and the reception is better. People go, yeah. Oh, I listened to that episode. It was really good. Or they don't, they're not like judgy about it. Or like, oh, how could you be talking about this? I just feel like today's people are more like, okay, you know, listen, this is what's happening. Some people like BDSM. Some people just like cuddling with other people. You know, some people, you know, just like a variety of different things. Some people like anal more than others. I mean, it just depends, you know, like, and I feel like the more, like you said, the more you talk about it and it's not this like, ooh, this is a secret, you know, then you just be just normal. You know, it's like somebody tells me they like a certain type of thing. It's not like I go, oh, wow, really? I just go, oh yeah, that's cool. You know, whatever, you know, as long as it's not harming someone like in a really negative state, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I don't want them to feel shameful about it. I want them to tell me like what they're into, you know?
Because it is fascinating too.
It's fascinating.
Like,
yeah.
Like, okay, well, explain why, what do you find arousing about that? Or what do you find interesting about that?
Yes. And I like to be able to just ask people that. I don't want to have to tap around it. You know, it's like, I feel like people are tap dancing around it. I'm like, let's not do it. Listen, what do you like? Like, let's just talk about it, you know, and let's not feel weird about it. Just tell me, I'll tell you, and it's all good, you know?
Well, and it's such a weird thing, right? And honestly, I think that sometimes it can be hard to just ask about, like, why do you think and feel the way that you do? Because I think that... Yeah. Like, we're getting better about being able to do that, but it's about like just not being surface. It's about not being surface yeah. level and digging down. And that, you know, not being surface level is just like such a big thing for me specifically yeah. because my family, they just didn't talk about shit. We didn't yeah. talk about anything. Mm. And I was like, okay, so if you talk about stuff, it could go wrong. You could get your feelings yeah. hurt. You could, people could know that information and then come get you about it. Or, you know, if somebody knows that you're interested in a thing about sex, they could, like, in theory, like blackmail you or something. There are all of these like worst yeah. case scenarios, but also talking about it is overall a better thing than keeping it in. Because even if it's uncomfortable, even if somebody gets angry, you can at least still address the issue. But the second that we yeah. just stop talking, what are we even doing anymore?
Yeah. I just think we have to have some discussion about it. We may not have to be like super detailed, but like, I mean, we don't have to like whisper to each other about it. It's kind of like, you know, like no one's doing it. I'm like, maybe you're not doing it. You know, we could talk about that too. Why you're not doing it. Maybe you're doing it a lot. Oh, it must be what's this season like for you? You're having lots of sex. What's that like? You know, like my buddies and I, we talk very openly, yeah. but not like there's a lot of guys, but not in like a guy raunchy way, like in a very inquisitive way. Like, and like really asking interesting questions. Not like stupid, like past stuff where it's like, oh, you know, like, what'd you do? Or it's stupid stuff. You know, that's stupid. You know?
Right, right. But asking about like, because I had a guy ask me and they're like, oh my God, wait, you talk about sex with your lady friends? Like, is it locker room talk? I'm like, no, it's not even like remotely. No. It's just like genuine interest. First of all, I want to know what my friends are interested in that. Yeah. That is a thing that if I want to hear what clients are interested in, I definitely yeah. want to hear what the people I love are interested in. But then also just genuinely being able to talk about things going on with myself sexually, right? If yeah. being transparent about that is just a great thing.
Yeah. I actually think we're going to see more of this as society continues to age and grow, and the newer generation of people, younger people, they're growing up in a time where they're seeing things like openness to ideas about psychedelics and sex and different things related to sexuality and gender and all these things that I think this kind of dinosaur mentality about keeping sex down, that's not going to exist in the future. I think it's going to be just a very open discussion pretty regularly. Yeah. You know?
Hey, I'm right there with you. I think that Gen Z is so interesting, so fascinating to watch, because they are so capable of talking about emotions, right?
Yes.
In a way that we weren't. Like millennials, we did a good job. We did a good job of like opening the door. But they're like, we were kind of like the beginning light of, hey, therapy is an okay thing. Talking about emotions is an okay thing. But the next generation is like, I'm so excited to see where they go with sex and everything. And also, you know, like I don't, with AI now, to be completely honest, just the technology is just ramping up so insanely quickly. So we're going to just have information at our fingertips all the time. And also more automation is going to take place. So more people are going to have time to think about life, to become more self-actualized.
Yes.
So I think that that will enable them to be able to talk more about sex, to do, you know, if you're not like writing the same contract every day because an AI did it, well, I guess you can fuck more.
Yeah. You know what? That whole, you mentioned self-actualization. You don't really mention that unless you have the background in that. That's totally a counselor-based thing with that. That's a big part of my training too. And I think that humans have never had this much time to contemplate their place in the universe. Like on a wide, we used to be philosophers and different people like that back in the day. But most humans in developed nations can have more time to think about their lives. And I think that's a very exciting point to be in humanity. I even think now, and this is another discussion, but the discussion about sex and love and robotics and AI, that's all coming too, and companionship. And this is going to change how humans interact with everything as this comes online.
You want to hear something crazy that I just recently did? I heard a friend who, he started using ChatGPT for therapy, and I was like,
wow,
that is a great idea.
That is amazing. I've used it plenty of times, but not for that.
And so I tried it out. Yeah. And so, because I write in a journal, I type in a journal, right? And I was like, it's just so easy for me to just copy paste. I'm like, might as well see what the internet has to, what the overlords of the internet have to say about my issues or my inner dialogue. And it was pretty fascinating.
It was good.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. I might try that just to try it. I mean,
yeah. Well, just out of like shits and giggles. And the thing
is,
yeah,
for sure.
Like, okay, there are times where we have an immediate thing that happened, we're kind of upset, and we're going to see our therapist or our sex coach or whoever in a week or in a couple of days. But we had a thing right, like at that moment. It's 4 a.m. and I have like a text that I'm trying to send and I feel really awkward about it. Like I could just ChatGPT. What? That's amazing.
ChatGPT, I'm trying to send this text. I'm not sure what to say. Tell me what to say.
Help me out.
Help me out. How do I tell this person these things about them? Being wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. Well, Caitlin, this has been another good episode. I just love this back and forth, and also very enlightening in a different way. Please tell everyone how they could connect with you a bit more.
Yeah. So I am on Instagram and on Twitter at My Sex Coach. I'm really active on both of them. So if you have any questions, please shoot me a DM. I respond to everyone. And then also watch my show, Watch Girls Watch Porn. It's on Pornhub. And the handle is WGWP.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, Caitlin. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun.